And so they weren't ready to take up their cross and follow him. They were ready to take up the milk and honey. They were ready to take off the yoke of Roman oppression. They were ready to take up the bags of gold that they thought the Messiah was going to bring, and the prosperity and the lushness. Weren't ready to take up the cross. They weren't ready to submit every relationship they had with people to their relationship with God. They weren't ready to follow him like that. They wanted to follow him somewhere else. He says, I'm not going there. You follow me, I'll take you somewhere. But this road might be a little bit different road than you were thinking of. And so they were not true disciples. They were self-deceived. You know what? I don't want to be self-deceived, man. I don't want to get to the end of the road and find out I'm not what I think I was. I want to know that I am truly his, that I belong to Christ. When I get to that judgment seat of Christ, man, I want to know that I belong to him. I don't want to be like these people on American Idol, and not to bash anybody, you know, but, man, you know, the ones, they're sitting there, there's 10,000 people that came to audition, and the guy's running around with the microphone, and they come up to one, they say, so what are you here for? And they say, man, I'm going to be the next American Idol. You're looking at him. This is the person. And they get in there and they start singing. And you wish they were an idol, because idols don't have mouths. They can't talk or speak or make any sound. Like, boy, if only you were an idol. I could throw you in the fire or do something. Man, they're self-deceived. And when Simon says, man, you can't sing, they come out of there all crying and boo-hooing and cussing and carrying on because their bubble has been burst. They were self-deceived. Someone may have even misled them and said, wow, man, you can really sing. I don't want to be self-deceived, man. I want to know that I know that I know that I am his. I belong to Christ, that he has purchased me. And by faith in Christ, I now belong to him. I'm in his kingdom. Praise God. Whatever it costs to continue in his word, if that will give me the confidence and the assurance that I belong to him, that when I pray, man, God is listening and that God is responding, that when I speak, I can have boldness because I know the Holy Spirit is flowing through me and giving me the words. That when I'm walking out in my life, stepping out in faith, even though things are rough and things look shaky, when I step out in faith and trust God, I want to know that that is a sure foundation. You probably heard the parable. Jesus said, you know, whoever hears my sayings and does them, continues in them, abides in them, and practices them in their life. It's like a man who built his house on a rock. And he said, when the storm came, I know I've said this a million times, he didn't say if the storm came, he said, when the storm comes, the waves and the rain and the wind beat on that house, and it stood because it was built on solid ground, solid rock. But a man who hears my words and doesn't do it, doesn't abide in it, doesn't continue on it, it's like a man who built his house on the sand. And when the storm came, what happened? The house fell. And he said, great was the fall of it. Man, I don't want to live in a rickety house, man. I don't want to live in a house that's going to fall when the storm comes. I want to know. Don't you? I want to know that house is going to stand. Because frankly, I'm no good at fixing houses, man. That thing comes down, it's down for good. I might have to call Dave Largent or something to help put that thing back up. Praise God. So you will know that you are one of his disciples. Second blessing, you will not only know that, Jesus said, you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Praise God. Now, at the end of his life, Jesus was standing there in front of Pontius Pilate. And Pilate asked him, are you a king? He said, for this purpose I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pontius Pilate gets all sarcastic and arrogant and says, what is truth? Not even what is true or what is the truth. Think about that. He says, what is truth? As if to say, man, you can't even know truth. There's no such thing as truth. You can't even define it. He was so steeped in the Greek philosophies that abounded in that culture that day, he didn't even believe there was such a thing as truth. It's almost as if he challenged Jesus and says, what is truth? And then he didn't even wait for him to answer. He goes and starts talking to the crowd again. That's a man who's lost, man. That's a man walking in darkness. That's a desperate man. That's a man who says, there is nothing to stand on. There is no anchor for your soul. There is no ground for you to plant your feet on. There is no hope. all the best you can do is just scrape through this life and hope to make it as pleasant as possible until you die. Jesus said, there is truth, brother. You can know the truth. And the irony was that the truth was standing right in front of him. Pilate said, what is truth? I was surprised Jesus didn't say, you're looking at him, buddy. You want to know truth? Look in my eyes. Read my lips. Hold out your hand and truth will take you by the hand and I'll take you somewhere. What is truth? You're looking at him. When you know Jesus, you know the truth. Because Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. When you know Christ, you know the truth. You might not know, philosophy you might not even know a whole lot of theology. You might not have some postgraduate degree or some doctrine. You might not have a lot of credentials. But praise God, you'll know the truth. You might not know how to solve all the world's problems and their economies and their foreign policies and how to stop all the wars and end all the suffering and affliction that's in the world, but you will know the truth. You might not know how to fix your dishwasher when it's leaking. Lest your marks later, you might not know how to fix your carburetor when your car stops running. You might not know where the next amount of money is coming in to pay the utility bill or the mortgage. But you'll know the truth, and you can stand on him. And I love that the old saying, I beat this thing to death. I might not know the future, but I know the one who holds the future in his hand. Praise God. And I don't know where you are in your spiritual walk today, but knowing Jesus is the truth that will set you free. I don't know where you've been, but I can tell you, in my life, I was a slave to sin. Scripture says that all of us at some point, until we come to Christ, are a slave to sin. He who commits sin is a slave to sin. I was sold under sin, the Bible says. Not only a slave to the power of sin, but a slave to the destiny of sin. I was literally sold. I owed a debt I could not pay. I was helpless. I was without hope in this world. Romans 7:14 says, we know the law is spiritual, but I, in my natural state, am carnal. I am literally sold under sin. I'm like a slave on an auction block going to the highest bidder. And we're under the condemnation of death and hell with no way to save ourselves. And we are under the power of the prince of this world, the enemy, whom the Bible calls Satan and the devil. And we're in a pretty bad spot. Thank God. Thank God that Jesus Christ, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, came in human flesh and hung upon a cross to pay the price for John D'Souza's sins and to pay the price for your sins with his own blood and with his own life. Thank God. I love having this overhead there, but we've got that cross on the wall behind there, and sometimes I kind of wish that thing could be in a prominent place again, because I don't ever want to outgrow the message that thing stands for. That is my redemption. That is my salvation. And when I was without hope and despair, Christ came and hung and bled on a cross like that so that I could go free. And whatever debt I owed, his blood paid the price. And when I said, Lord Jesus, come in my heart and rescue me and save this poor hell-bound sinner, he said, that's just exactly why I came. And yes, my blood has paid the price. And yes, when I set you free, you will be free indeed. And I don't know how dark or how deep your past might be, but there is nothing that the blood of Jesus Christ, when he hung on that cross, there is nothing that blood cannot wash away and cleanse away. And that is the redemption price with which we were redeemed. You don't need an indulgence. You don't need to pay off the priest. And I'm not trying to slam anybody. But I saw a movie about Martin Luther's life one time, and it just used to tear him up to see people in bondage to this system of religiosity and works where they were trying to buy their salvation when he knew that Christ has paid it all.